On the third month anniversary of the launch of the Occupy Wall Street encampment in New York City, activists were taking stock of the enormous growth of their movement across the nation and the world, and the subsequent police suppression and eviction of activists from dozens of their camps and public spaces. In New York City, Occupy activists who had earlier been evicted from Zuccotti Park attempted to reoccupy Duarte Square on December 17th, a property owned by Trinity Church, which resulted in some 50 arrests when clergy members and others climbed over the park fence in a symbolic act of civil disobedience. To date, one of the most ambitious protest actions undertaken by Occupy activists was the December 12th shutdown of three of the nation's major ports, Oakland, Portland, and Seattle. The one-day action was organized to draw attention to how the investment firm Goldman Sachs profits from port commerce, as it is a major shareholder in Stevedore Services of America, which is in the midst of a dispute with unionized truck drivers. The action, which was mostly peaceful but took a violent turn in Seattle, has been criticized as not in tune with the wishes of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, whose president publicly opposed the Occupy movement's call for a West Coast port shutdown. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhu spoke with Ian Finkenbinder, a member of Occupy Seattle who helped organize the West Coast port shutdown. He says that while the ILWU leadership had publicly opposed the port action, many rank-and-file members supported it, as did many of the non-union truckers who move goods in and out of the port.
I'd like to clarify that it wasn't that we had non-support from the union. We had non-support from the union's officers. The ILWU issued a statement of non-support about the December 12th West Coast port shutdown, and that's great. We understand that. Legally, those officers have to issue that statement. However, the rank and file, we saw a lot of support. Not all of them, but a lot. In fact, I'd say a majority. That statement of non-support was not put to the union as something that could be voted on. It was just unilaterally decided on by the leadership. So we did a lot of outreach with the unions. We talked to a lot of union members. And honestly, if we felt that it wasn't something that the union members, the rank and file, could get behind, we wouldn't have done it.
And I guess it's true that the union leadership, some people were saying that they had to do it because it was a breach of contract. If they had supported it, they could have been in really big trouble.
Yes, if the union president had said, yeah, let's shut down all the ports, that would have equaled millions of dollars of fines. It would have jeopardized their ability to negotiate better contracts. So that's really, honestly, it's what they had to say. Their hands were tied, whereas our hands weren't. We had the option of shutting down the port, and we sure did.
What was the rationale exactly for shutting down the port? It was intended to be a one-day shutdown, right?
It was intended to be a one-day shutdown, and it was in order to send a message to multinational corporations like Goldman Sachs, who operate these shipping deals through the terminals, and they've been engaging a lot of union-busting tactics, and so we were attempting to send a message to these companies that the workforce is a lot bigger than them. And honestly, they make their millions, their billions, based on the participation of workers.
There was not a lot of violence, as I understand it, and there wasn't a lot of even interaction with the police. Is that at least in some of the places? How was it in Seattle?
It was pretty crazy. Seattle Police Department actually just received a letter detailing their many, many faults and violations, to include violations of the Constitution. At our blockade, there were a lot of port shutdowns where there wasn't any violence. They actually used tear gas and flashbang grenades on us in order to break up our blockade. So there was violence, but that's pretty common with the Seattle Police Department.
I got an email from a person who was supporting the blockade and trying to, basically he said, keep it nonviolent, and he was brutally attacked by the police. He's a Catholic worker, a group that, you know, is very supportive of the poor.
I met him, and that was horrifying. Basically, he got pushed down by the police while he was standing there shouting, keep the peace, keep the peace, and they punched him in his face while they ground his face into the dirt. It was horrible.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said that he went basically at the request of some of the truckers that he knew who said that their working conditions and pay and stuff were terrible and that they would definitely support this action. Can you say anything about the interaction, if any, between the truckers who are not part of a union and the ILWU?
I can't really comment on their relationship with the ILWU. What I can say is my own observation of the different port workers that I saw there. For instance, the machinists did cross our picket line because they are not unionized, but they thanked us for being there in support of port workers. Even though the truck drivers, due to our blockade, it took them like an hour to get out of the port in order to get home or just to go on to their next stop. Even though we delayed them, every time that they pulled through, they would honk at us, they would wave at us, they would give us a thumbs up. I'd say about 80% of them. So their interaction with us, at least, was very good. I think every port worker has a vested interest in these companies being operating on a more beneficial level with their laborers.
And so what's the next step? This was a one-day blockade, and it seemed very powerful. Are you building on this in what way?
Well, for one, it creates not just a media narrative, but also a working relationship with union rank-and-file members. So we've shown that we stand with them, and, you know, honestly, I think that a lot of them are getting involved in an unofficial capacity. So that's great. Also, we're coming up with new ways that we can support working families, at least in the state of Washington where I am, and coming up with new actions and just changing tactics all the time in order to adapt to the many different problems that address the 99%.
That was Ian Finkenbinder of Occupy Seattle. Find links to more news, analysis, and commentary on the Occupy Wall Street movement on our website at btlonline.org.